We're again pleased to have this good audience with us this evening. As was mentioned, we have some visitors who are here with us, and we certainly do thank you for your presence. And if this is the first time that you are here, we are want you to know that you're a welcome guest. You're an honored guest here among us, and we'd like for you to stick around when the services are over this evening so that we might get to meet you and greet you and extend a warm welcome to you. If you're visiting and you've been here before, then again, stick around also. We're glad for your presence. You've shown an interest by coming back once again to be with us. Our own number is here, and we are glad for the presence of each and every one of you. For the time that we have together this evening, we want to spend a little time talking about something that we all need, and that is the subject of patience. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have an IQ of about 180 to recognize that in this life we're going to need patience. But especially as a child of God, is this something that we are going to desperately need as we go about our day-to-day activities. This is one of the earliest characteristics, I guess we might say, that we have to develop in ourselves as children of God. And it's easy to see why this is something that is commanded by God of us, because it's going to take patience for us to remain faithful unto Him. Even in the lives that we have, if they are only the number of years that we have here on this earth are very short. If we have only a short period of time to spend in service unto God, it's going to take patience. And especially if we live here, we have been granted by God to live here a long period of time and striving to serve Him, then we are also going to need patience and a great deal of patience. Peter tells us that this is one of the basic things that we are to add to our life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verses 5 and 6, we know there concerning what has been termed as the Christian graces. He said, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control, perseverance, or as the King James and American Standard says, their patience. We are to add these things to our life. This is something that is to be the very foundation upon which we build and we begin to grow as children of God. In James 5 and verse 11, there's a statement that is made by James there. He says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. He says, as he talks about those that are blessed who endure, what he's talking about is patience. Those who have borne up under all of the temptations and all the trials and persecutions that life has to heap upon each and every one of us. And then he gives Job as an example, and we've all heard about the patience of Job, how that he persevered under great hardships. And he says there that we have seen the end which was intended by the Lord, that the Lord can be compassionate, and the Lord is one who is merciful. We can certainly see then that if we're going to find favor in the sight of God, then patience is something that is a must. We're going to need patience each and every day of our life because we are faced with temptation. We are faced with sufferings and hardships. We talked about Joseph for a few moments this morning and how that he, day after day, faced temptation. And he began, we might think to ourselves, if we were in his situation, we would begin to wear down just a little bit. And that's what temptation does to us. It begins to wear us down. It begins to bring a load or a burden upon us. But in the case of Joseph, we see day by day he resisted that. And he was able to resist that because of his perseverance, because of his endurance. He wanted to do what God had said. Now, we may not be faced with the kind of temptation that Joseph was faced with, but each and every one of us have to endure these things day by day. It may come to us as children in school, as we are tempted day by day to engage in those things that others are engaging in that we as children of God cannot do. The drugs that are there and all of these other things that we are faced with day by day. It's going to take perseverance to constantly say no to these things. In the home situation, there's also difficulties that arise between husband and wife, between parents and children, and other things that come along that perhaps we have no control over, that day by day are going to begin to wear us down. And we've got to have patience if we are going to win the crown in the end. At work, perhaps the same situation might arise. Things become temptations to us. And day by day, we face those things. And day by day, we're going to need patience. This is a part of the fruit that we as children of God need to cultivate in our life. And so we want to spend just a few moments this evening talking about this very important subject. What is patience, though? I suppose if we ask 10 people how they would define patience, you might get 10 different answers. I believe all of them would be similar, but they probably wouldn't use the exact words or the exact phrases each and every time. But generally, we would all define it as meaning to endure something, to put up with something over a period of time. The word long-suffering may come to our mind when we think of the word patience. And that just simply means to suffer for a long period of time under a load or under a burden. And this comes very close to the very exact definition of this particular word as it is found in the Greek. Thayer describes it or defines it as being steadfastness, constancy, endurance. And then he says it's a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Again, we can look at Joseph as we talked about that this morning. Here was an individual that had a great burden on him, but he was not swerved any at all from the goal that he had in mind. He was going to remain faithful unto God. His loyalty to faith and piety, even under the greatest trials and the greatest sufferings that he had to face. We would define it then as simply to persevere, to endure, to bear bravely and calmly the burdens of life and the temptations that come to us. This word, as it is found in the original Greek text, Barclay says it is one of the noblest words that is found in all of the Bible. He says there is not a single word that can be translated into English that carries the thought of what is found in this original Greek term. We might think of it in this way. It is the ability of a plant to live under the most unfavorable conditions. We've seen plants and how that they grow in areas that we think nothing can grow here. I think I've drawn the illustration where I grew up down in Georgia. There's a mountain down there by the name of Stone Mountain. And what it is a big granite piece of rock that's in the ground. Perhaps some of you have been there. You have an opportunity to go and you can climb it. But you know, everywhere you go, or just about everywhere you go on that mountain, you can see plants. There are pine trees growing in that rock. And it seems that it's almost, an impossibility for this to happen. But by some reason, there is a seed that is carried by the wind or birds or whatever it might be, and it finds some earth somewhere on that rock, and it begins to grow. And it grows beyond just a little small shrub. It grows into a big tree. Under the most unfavorable conditions, you will find plants growing, not only in places such as that, at Stone Mountain, but in deserts we find, whereas we look at it on a whole, we would think, well, nothing can grow here. But as we begin to look, there are plants that are there. There are animals that are growing there. All of these things have found room to grow and found things to grow in, even in the most unfavorable conditions that we can possibly imagine. Well, that's the idea behind what we have here as patience, as endurance. Patience is not some passive endurance. It's not just simply sitting back and letting things come down upon us and pile on us and doing absolutely nothing at all. We might have that idea that might come to mind when we think of patience or perseverance, but it's more than that. It's not a simple resignation on our part that says, well, we've got to put up with hardships, sufferings are going to come our way, and so we're just going to resign ourselves to that. Patience or perseverance, as it is set forth in the Word of God, carries with it the idea also of hope, that there is hope at the end of this, that as we are bearing up under all of this, there is something that is at the end. We're just not sitting passively by. We're not resigned to hardships, but we're keeping hope within our heart that these things will end and there will be a reward for us. Being patient is not simply waiting for the end either. It is looking toward a reward that is at the end of our tribulations and our hardships. Now, this is what we might say patience is, that it is endurance, that it's perseverance, it's bearing up, but bearing up with more than just simply, well, I'm resigned to this, but hope, looking toward a reward that is going to be ours because we did bear up under this. We could ask the question also, why is patience something that is needed by each and every one of us? We might think to ourselves, well, that's kind of a silly question. If we're going to be faced with temptation, we're going to have patience. But we need patience so that we might be complete, that we might be perfect. In James, the first chapter, we read this morning, but in context of what we're speaking of concerning this evening. In James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, James makes this statement as he begins to talk to those. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we're going to need patience because we want to be perfect, because we want to be complete. When tribulations and trials, as James talks about here, comes upon us, it is a testing of our faith. And we've got to know, and we need to know exactly how strong our faith is. And when we are tested, then we can produce that patience in our life. And that patience brings about a perfection. It brings about a completeness so that we will be lacking in nothing. This endurance, as he talks about here, is patience. And there are trials that are going to come to us. There are going to be those inner conflicts that arise within our lives. There's going to be, as we know, that constant war between the flesh and the spirit. And there's always the spirit pulling us one way and the flesh pulling us the other way. There are going to be trials, and we're going to give in to the flesh from time to time. We're going to give in to those temptations. Temptations will come to us as we are drawn away, James talks about, by our own lust. And when that lust, it produces sin. Sin produces death. That's going to happen to us. These things we're going to face in our life from within ourselves. But we're also going to face those things from without. There are things that are going to happen to us that we have no control over. There are going to be persecutions and sufferings that we will have to endure day by day. There's also going to be those hardships that will be brought on by others. These things are going to arise in our life. We're not going to escape this life without temptation, without hardship, without any sufferings at all. If we could, then we would not need patience. But we need them. We need perseverance. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter makes this statement, and again, we made mention of it this morning in context of talking about Joseph. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. When temptation comes, when trials and sufferings enter our life, we should not think, well, this is just an unusual thing. This is not supposed to happen to me. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to have to endure these things. He says, don't think it's strange when that happens. Because as James says, this is going to try us. This is going to make us complete. This is going to make us perfect. And this completeness cannot be ours. We cannot be perfect in the sense that James is talking about it until we are able to endure the trials of life. We cannot be complete unless that happens. We don't know how strong our faith is until these things happen to us. And in our patience, we endure, and our faith becomes stronger. This completeness that we're talking about, of course, is not a sinless perfection, but it is a maturity on our part to be able to stand up under these persecutions. In the King James Version, it has the word entire there. All that belongs to us is what he's talking about. Having all our parts and everything in order, having nothing deficient. That's the way that we want to be. We want to be entire. We want to be complete. We don't want to have any weaknesses as children of God. And when these temptations come to us, and when we overcome them, and the trials and the sufferings, and through our patience we endure, we are made strong. We've heard the expression, what does not kill us will make us stronger. And this is what we're talking about here. That which we are able to overcome by faith and by patience, we are made stronger in that. And with every conquest that we make concerning temptation, it's easier for us next time to overcome that temptation. Patience will cause us to go on in spite of all the odds that might be against us. And as we think of Joseph this morning, it seemed that everything was against him. His brothers, he was sold into slavery, and yet this did not deter him from his faithfulness unto God. Patience will cause us to fight on for the victory that we know that is guaranteed to those who do not give in. When trials come, we must endure. When our Lord needs us, we must be ready. We must be mature enough to tackle the task that is at hand and to do what He would have us to do. And so it calls for patience on our part. If we want to be complete, if we want to be mature Christians, then we've got to have patience because we must overcome. We need patience to endure these trials. Notice what is said in Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 31 and other passages there in that particular 10th chapter, if you would turn with me there, we'll find the writer of the book of Hebrews talking to these individuals and telling them how that they have overcome sufferings. In verse 31, he says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall, he says, the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. He says, recall when you became children of God, that you had to suffer through certain things. Partly, he says, while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. It says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then in verse 39 he says, for we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but are those who believe to the saving of their soul. He tried to call to their remembrance then some of the things that they had to endure. And they had to endure some sufferings and some trials, he said. But he said, you gladly did this. You bore this gladly in giving up some of your own goods. And he goes on to say, you have need of this endurance because you look forward to a reward, the promise that has been made by God. He says, we are not like those that draw back. We're not like those that give in to temptation and persecutions and sufferings. You are not like that, he says. These Christians had a great beginning. But due to some persecutions that came along, there was real fear in the writer here, whoever it be, if it's Paul or whoever it might be, there was real fear in him that some of them would begin to slip. They would begin to give up and cave in and break down under these persecutions. The Romans were beginning to persecute Christians at this particular time, and therefore he was saying there was a need for you to endure, not to give up, but to go on. And so we need patience. Because this is something that is going to help us endure the trials that we're going to face, just as it was in the first century. We need patience also so that we might run the race that is before us successfully. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews also, and in verses 1 and 2, after the writer there talks about those that had lived by faith and God was pleased with, therefore, he says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says there is a race that we're running. And so because of this, the others that we have seen, these witnesses that are about us, he says, let us run with this race with endurance or with patience. There is a race that is set before us. And if we are going to be victorious in the end, then we're going to need patience. We're all familiar with the races of the Olympics and the marathon. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the last events that's found in the Olympics. It's a race of about 26 point something miles. It's a long ways. You know, you get in a car and you start driving that, and it's a long way. And here are these individuals that are running this distance. And you're going to have patience if you're going to finish that race. Most people cannot run it. Most people don't have the endurance and the patience to run that far. Most of the individuals also who enter that particular race, maybe not all of them, I'm sure, but a good many of them are not necessarily looking for first place. They're not thinking in the back of their mind, I don't want to race this unless I come in first. There's only a few that have a legitimate chance at winning first place in that race. Most people are simply looking to finish the race. They want to endure all the way to the very end. The race that we have as Christians is very much like that. It's very much like a marathon, a long-distance run in which we're going to have endurance. We're going to have patience. This race that we're in as Christians is not a sprint where we can go all out for a few seconds and then it's over with. A lot of people run the Christian race in that way, and they get off to a good start, and they're running just as fast as they can. And then they discover that the finish line is not just a few yards away, that the finish line is a long way away. And they begin to give up. They don't have the patience. They don't have the endurance. The race that we are in, this one, if we are going to be successful, patience is needed. It's needed all the time as we are looking forward to that reward that he says here, looking forward to the reward that is set, and not being, you know, deterred by these things. So we need patience in this life. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God, we're going to have endurance. We're going to have patience. One of the things that we note from the Word of God also is that there are companions that go along with patience. Just as in the case sometimes we look at sin, you know, one sin is not found many times by itself in a person's life. That one sin produces something else. It has a companion that goes along with it. It's the same with the fruits of the Spirit, that it has companions. And one of the companions that we find that goes hand in hand with patience is that of faith. Faith and patience go hand in hand if we're going to be successful. Again, James 1 and verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Faith produces patience. If we have faith in our life and we maintain that faith in our life, then what we're going to have, what the end result is going to be, is that we're also going to have endurance. Faith produces the motivation for us to endure, that our faith is in God, that we are living a life that is pleasing to Him. And that reward that is laid up for those who are faithful, that motivates us to endure. That motivates us not to give up, not to say that these trials are too much for us as we think of the goal. The way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Christ said that in John 14 and verse 6. And if I believe that, then I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to compromise the Word of God. I'm never going to stop in this race or in this battle for my soul. I believe every promise that God has made is true. Therefore, I'm going to endure. I have faith in Him, what He has said, that He is going to be with me. He's going to be with those that are faithful. And as a result of that faith, then, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to endure. I'm going to persevere. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes, that has overcome the world, our faith. With faith and patience, the victory is ours. So faith and patience go hand in hand. Generally speaking, if you find one in the life of an individual, you're going to find the other. A faithful person is a patient person. Also, a companion of patience is hope. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes to the saints there at Rome, and in the first 5 verses, we find him making this statement to those there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have been saved by the grace of God. This grace of God has been manifested in Jesus Christ, His Son. And we exercise faith as a part of that, as a part of our belief in God and what He has done. And because of faith and because of hope, we can glory in our trials, knowing they will bring to us the endurance or the patience that is necessary for us to overcome. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, again, we find Peter writing by inspiration these things. He says in verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Because of patience and because of the hope that we have, we can endure all things. We can look to the end, and having that hope that God is going to fulfill the promises that He has made to those who do endure. So faith and hope go with patience. They are companions. Joy is another thing that goes with patience also. Colossians 1 in verse 11. Paul writes there, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." God provides us with the necessary strength to help us endure life's tribulations and life's temptations with joy. We can endure these things with joy. Not that we're masochists, not that we like to be punished or we like pain or anything like that at all. But we have joy because we're looking beyond these things that we're having to go through now. As we read just a few moments ago in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Jesus endured the cross with joy. How did He do that? How could He put up with the pain and the suffering that He had to endure for those few hours that He was on the cross? How did He do it with joy? How did He look forward to it all the years that He preached the gospel? How did He look forward to it with joy? Again, it was not because He enjoyed pain. He liked that. He was just as you and I. He had feelings. He did not want to endure those things. But He was able to look at it with joy because He knew what He was going to gain once He endured that. Once He patiently bore the cross and the pain of the cross. Once again, it's like a runner in a marathon. After about 20 miles, it's not a joy to them to run anymore. There's pain. But they can run it with joy because they know what's at the end. They know the reward that is waiting for them. We can do exactly the same thing. We can bear with patience and with joy the tribulations that we face, not because we enjoy pain, but because of the reward that has been promised to us by God. And so when James says, "Count it all joy when you face various temptations," that's what he's talking about. The joy for what we're going to gain, the joy in this life for being able to endure and being able to make stronger, but also to look beyond that. For the Christian who cannot see beyond the suffering of this present life, I'm afraid there's little chance for that individual to endure to the end. For the individual who's a Christian who thinks to himself, well, I face temptation day in and day out, and I'm not going to bear up under it, there's just too much joy to be enjoyed in the world. There's much too much pleasure for me there. And that's all they see on that side of the ledger. And on the other side, all they can see is the suffering that they have to endure as children of God. If that's all they're able to see, they're not going to endure. They're not going to make it to the end. We need to see the end results of our life in being faithful unto God, and then we can face temptations and trial with joy. Then a companion of patience is that of joy. It's also a companion of heaven. In Romans chapter 2, once again, in verses 6 and 7, we find Paul to the saints at Rome make this statement. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. We're talking about patience here, running the course, running the race with patience. He says you have something to look forward to. You have heaven. You have eternal life. He says those who will render to each one according to his deeds. And then he says eternal life. To those who run with patience. In the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see. Then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. With patience. And he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about a home in heaven. When this life, this physical life has come to an end. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. He says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And into the patience of Christ. There is absolutely nothing that we cannot endure if, by a knowledge of the truth, we look forward to the glories that are waiting for those who are faithful. We can put up with anything. We can endure it for a short period of time. For these light afflictions, Paul calls it, these light afflictions we can endure when we look to that which God has prepared for those that are faithful. In closing, we simply want to look at the patience of Job for just a moment. Joseph was the example that we used in the Old Testament this morning to learn some things. And we've all heard of the patience of Job. Job is an individual that's always been pointed to as a possessor of great patience. He was a great man, as we can read in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 talks about a great and a powerful individual here. And all the things that he possessed. His children, his possessions, his herds, his lands. And he was looked upon as being, really, a great individual. But we find as we read the narrative there that everything was taken away from him. All the possessions that he had were taken away from him. And it just seemed like in rapid fire, one thing after the other. And yet in all of this, he was patient. He was faithful unto God. It would have been easy. For him to give up, for him to blame God. Again, blame God in the sense that maybe God didn't bring this on him, but God allowed it to happen to him. You know, again, that's what we want to do. We don't necessarily want to blame God for this being happening to us, but we want to blame him a little bit for allowing it to happen to us. But Job did not do that. Many who have lost a whole lot less than Job would have given up. He was a man who remained faithful. He lost his health then, and yet he remained faithful unto God. You know, whenever tragedy strikes us, sometimes we say, well, at least we've got our health. Job couldn't say that. He didn't have his health any longer. But he didn't give up. He remained faithful in the persecutions, in the trials that were brought upon him, again, through no fault of his own. His friends turned on him. And yet he remained faithful unto God. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. I don't know how many years they had been living together, but the narrative tells us that they had children up and off on their own. So they had been living together for a number of years. And here was his companion for life now telling him to curse God and die. What a great temptation that would have been for him, perhaps for us. For the one that has been our companion for life to finally say, look what you've lost. Now just curse God and die. But he did not do that. Those that were his friends, we might want to put that in quotations, they told him to repent of whatever sin he had committed because they were sure he was being punished for some sin. But he remained, he kept his integrity. He said, I've done nothing that's wrong. Here again, friends were telling him, you've done something wrong. But he remained faithful unto God. He had two options, we might say, that were opened unto him. He could either give up, or he could handle his problems through faith in God. And what a great example Job is to us. When our problems seem to mount one upon the other, we can just simply think about him for a few moments, and we can endure. Job was rewarded for his faithfulness and for his patience. He received more in the end of his life than he had in the beginning. When all of these things happened, he had many possessions and blessings. But because of his perseverance, because of his faithfulness, he received more. We can say also concerning our faithfulness and our patience that they also will be rewarded. It may not be rewarded in this life, but certainly we will be rewarded far greater in the life that is to come than in the one that we have right now. Job in the end had more. We in the end, through patience, through faithfulness, will also inherit more. More than we've ever dreamed of. For God has prepared those things who are going to be faithful unto him. How do you react when things seem to get out of hand? When you have to suffer hardships and persecutions? Is your pain too great for you to bear? Do you lose sight of that final goal that you otherwise might keep in mind? Do you just get tired and want to give up? You know, a lot of times that's the way it is with us. We just get tired. We get tired of temptation. We want to give in to it. We don't want to have to fight against it anymore. We want to give in to suffering, to persecution. We want to be, sometimes I guess, like everybody else that seems to be escaping persecution in this world. Child of God can't afford to do that. We must persevere. We must have patience. Let us all pray for the patience that is needed to fight faithfully. The fight is the battle that is before us, that we can go all the way to the end. Certainly life is going to bring trials. They're going to bring more trials for us as children of God than they are for the rest of the world. But there's one thing that we have that the world doesn't have, and that is we have help from above. We have the strength that is provided through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And with that strength, we can overcome. Only with patience are we going to win the race that is before us. And so with every temptation and every trial that comes along, let us not necessarily think that it's a bad thing. Because we can endure, and we're made stronger. We're made entire and complete because of it. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, perhaps you are, and you are facing temptations to be like the world, not to surrender to the will of God and obey his commandments. Overcome those trials, overcome those temptations by setting aside, again, the writer of the book of Hebrews said, setting aside that weight which so easily besets you. Whatever that weight might be, put it aside. It's not worth hanging on to if it's going to cost you your soul. Give it up so that you might be pleasing in the sight of God. If you're here, not a child of God, become one this evening. All you have to do is repent, is have faith in God, repent of your sins, confess your faith before men that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and that'll put you in the household of safety. I'll put you in the family of God. The steps are simple. They're not hard to do. Again, as we've said, the hard part is overcoming our own stubbornness, our own will, and submitting to what God says. But if we're going to be pleasing, if we want heaven as a home, if we want to overcome, then that's what we've got to do. To be victorious, we must surrender. Will you surrender this evening to Christ? The song has been selected. We hope there's something that has been said, something in the song that would cause you to be obedient. Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?